Today's coffee break, everybody. Hi, Peter. It is, look at that, April 1st, 2020. It's no longer March. Wonderful. Hi, Solbuda.
Are you on the air? Can you hear me, Robbie?
Am I on the air?
I'm sorry, are you with me, Robbie? Yeah. You can hear me, obviously, yeah.
Peter, I'm going to have a real difficulty understanding you today because I'm sitting in my office with my phone on my desk.
Sorry, Robbie.
Yeah?
Did you hear about me and Dr. Who? One of my nurses runs a bed and breakfast in up in the village up the road from us, and she don't get very good internet. Okay, and
Peter, the only thing I heard was very good internet. I can't hear a thing. My phone is on my desk, and I don't have a headset, and I don't have speakers today.
I'm sorry, bro.
I'm gonna do my best.
The audio level up a bit more. I'm not sure I could. Anyway, she had bad internet, and she'll tell me how bad her internet was. Really, really bad. And she said, I've got something called Blue Box. I said, oh, have you? And then she said, by the way, Doctor Who's parents are staying with me. I suppose they used the Blue Box then. You didn't get that? No, you didn't hear what I'm saying. I suppose they lose the Blue Box then. Because they're using Blue Box Internet and Blue Box Doctor Who. Don't worry.
Translations, guys.
Good morning.
You guys with your headsets. Hey, BP9.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'll tell the story again.
No, you don't need to apologize, man. I regret that I don't have a better setup right now. It makes it really, really hard with your voice box. So
yeah, I know that, Robbie. I said that one of my nurses runs a boarding house up the road, and they don't have very good internet. It's almost like a dial-up, almost like. And she bought something called Blue Box. She at the time she said she had Doctor Who, the new ones. Parents saying, I said, I suppose they would be using the Blue Box to have internet connection.
What is Blue Box?
It's a box that takes a remote radio signal from somewhere else and transmits Wi-Fi to the user.
Oh, so is she pulling that from you, or where is she getting it from?
Got it from up the road, from a better site up the road. From a better site. It's called Paul Baron Tray. If you look it up on your map, it's Paul Baron Tray.
Tell me if I've got this right. So she has really poor internet.
Yeah.
And she's got this device that gives her Wi-Fi access, which is giving her better internet to some connection up the road.
It's called Blue Box.
Called Blue Box. Never heard of it, but it sounds similar. Sounds similar to the kind of makeshift internet that we had to use over at Studio D.
But then she had Doctor Who's parents staying at her boarding house. I said, I suppose they'd be using your Blue Box. She had Doctor Who's parents staying, the woman who played Doctor Who's parents staying at her boarding house. And I said, I suppose she'll be using your Blue Box internet. No, I didn't get it. You can't get somebody telling what I just said.
Robbie? I think that's a reference to the current Doctor in Doctor Who, and that actor's parents were involved in this story. I think that's what it is. Am I right, Peter?
The parents stayed at the nurse's boarding house, and I said to her, I suppose they'd be using her Blue Box internet, joking.
I gotcha. So we got it. So we're TARDIS references and everything. I'm so sorry, Peter. I wish it was easier for us for me especially, to understand you today. But and for those of you who are watching, if you're not sure what Peter's saying, I don't think that the Google automatic captions are going to be much use to us either, Peter. But we'll certainly do our best. He's gone through throat cancer, so he's got a device that helps him to be able to.
I'm dyslexic anyway. I wouldn't read the bloody things on the screen anyway, you know. I'm dyslexic anyway, so I'm very bad for dyslexics. I wouldn't read the signs on the writing on the screen anyway. I could see very well. I couldn't do it quick enough, you know. So I understand about the Shasha sometimes with the with some stuff that she does. I know she has got dyslexia as well, so, you know, I understand. Because I've got very bad, yeah, I really have got very bad, so, you know, well, okay. You all talk together.
We're doing our best, everyone. It's April 1st, guys. We made it through, can I say, the month from hell? That was brutal.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
We made it. We're here. We survived.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, to those of you who have supported the show through the Kickstarter or Patreon or donations in any way, and just participating, I really, really appreciate you guys.
I'm supposed to point out that it's April 1st today and there's no way that you made it through.
Yeah. I'm not joking about this.
Yeah, this don't year, play that joke.
I've personally canceled April Fools. I just, yeah. No jokes.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
But you know what? It's sunny skies here for the first time in at least a week. So one of the problems that I have is that Studio D has a steel roof and it's been pouring rain for the past week. And so I haven't been able to get up on the roof to get the Ubiquity down. So our antenna is still on the roof. I've got to go get that. But today looks like a beautiful day, so I'm hoping that I can stop by.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Robbie.
Hello, Ron.
Hey, Peace. Swabu.
Greetings.
Yeah, a lot of the local school authorities had info that they sent out to all students saying that because of the current corona situation, there is going to have to be schools throughout the Passover.
Our schools up here have been completely canceled. Yeah. I don't even think, I don't know, but the kids are all home anyways.
Yeah, so I think that is true here as well.
Yeah. There's a big article that I read about a lot of this school children fell for this joke.
So, Robbie, I have been studying up some more on the Pine Time. Yes.
Nice. What'd you find today, BP9? First of all, you got more than 3 hours of sleep.
Yeah, 3.5.
No, not that bad. Time to study that Pine Time.
Yeah, not that bad this time. All the documentation I downloaded off the page are very, very low level documentation. It's the kind of docs that a system builder would need. Physical dimensions of each component, where each pin lies, where you'd have to place them in the circuit board, the electrical characteristics of each of those pins. Mm. None of that's any good to me. What I need is is to understand how to drive those devices. I'm not assembling a watch.
Yeah.
I'm writing a program to use the parts that have been assembled together.
Nice. And have you been looking at their? They have a forum. Have you been looking at Pine64's forum? Like, has it been helpful?
I haven't looked at the forum yet. So far, at the moment, all I've done is looked at the documentation page, the wiki, as well as all the various libraries that have been. That have implemented applications that run on the Pine Time. Mm-hmm. It needs what's called a bootloader. You get that when you, with the Arduino, you use AVRDUDE, AVRDUDE. That is the bootloader that you have to run in order to load a program into the Arduino. Mm-hmm. For the Pine Time, it's a slightly different, I believe it's OCR something. I've forgotten the name of it. But You don't just load. So we talked about a couple of days ago, you talked about PHP as your main language, right?
Yeah, I'd say that's probably my strongest language.
What languages do you see? The thing about PHP is it's not compiled. It's a scripting language. It's interpreted directly by the browser, or rather the PHP plugin on the browser to display the
PHP environment.
Correct, in order to display data on your page. Now, you can insert things like SQL queries or whatever it is you have to do and then make it display stuff based on that. But that's all happening interactively, scripted, right? The difference is that the sort of programming that I'm doing with C or C Sharp or Rust or whatever they're using is that the source code gets compiled into a binary executable that gets dumped onto the watch.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. I can take all the time I need to do the compile. I don't care how long the compile takes. What I want is to make sure that once it's on the watch, that it runs efficiently. Or that it runs at all. that's a bonus, right?
maybe change your ordering there to your priorities. Make sure it runs at all, and then make sure it runs efficiently.
Right. That's always how I work. You know, always make it work first, and then if I have any performance issues with the program at that point, then go do something about it then, about those performance issues. That's always the way I approach it in any case. So, yeah, I've been studying up on those, figuring out how to draw a watch face in with vectors instead of as a graphical PNG. I think I understand now why they use that graphical PNG, because most of the stuff – what's that?
Now, what did you find about that? Because that was a curiosity for sure.
It's easy to do. As I say, though, what you do is you have to take that PNG. Once you've decided how you want the watch face to look, you take that PNG and you convert that. They've got tools to help you do that. They convert that into a header file that basically just declares an array of a whole bunch of numbers, a whole bunch of hex values. Mm-hmm. Those hex values describe the RGB values of each pixel in that picture. And so a 320 by 320 or a 240 by 240, I'm still not sure what the actual resolution of the Pine Time is, and I won't know that till I actually get the device. Some say 240 by 240, some say 320 by 320. Mm-hmm. But once you've converted that image into that array of values, you can just splat that up on the screen. And I think the reason that a lot of programmers do it that way is so that when you draw the hands that change every second on the watch face, especially when you clear the, you know, the when you clear the second hand from one location and draw it on the next location, I think with a PNG that you won't destroy any of the pixels behind it. But with vector mode, when you program it as a vector, whereas where you say from the center of the circle, the watch face, to the number one digit or whatever, when you draw that, then clear it and then draw the next one, what you cleared, you'll end up with a whole bunch of unset pixels. And so you will have destroyed anything messed up anything that was drawn underneath it.
So I guess that would affect if you had, like, say, like a wallpaper underneath your watch face.
Well, I think, again, this is pure conjecture. I think that with a PNG or with a wallpaper, that does not happen. So you don't have to worry about resetting those pixels back to the way they were before you destroyed them by drawing a line over them.
Yeah. What's your delivery date? When are you going to have yours? Because
No idea. They've charged the card. I'm just waiting for it to arrive whenever it arrives.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's coming from China. I don't know. I don't know if there's any Pine watches here locally. When you order from Pine 64, yeah. I think it comes from there. So,
yeah, we'll see. Going to try the other both directions just to see what happens.
Sure, I'm going to try both approaches, but there are already plenty of implementations that do this with a PNG behind, and then drawing the each arm of the watch. I'll just be loading up into the Pine Time an already written implementation. For that, I just need to understand how it works. Yeah. I still like the idea of a vector implementation because I don't want a picture behind my watch face. What I would rather have is a much cleaner watch face that is really just each of the tick marks for each minute. And then each of the arms just move as they need to once a second. I think, Robbie, when we talked 2 or 3 days ago, you were thinking probably an analog movement where it would look continuous. But
well,
it would be nice, but I don't think it would be smart because it would use up a lot of CPU just to keep updating that. Whereas if you trigger it every second, it can run off an interrupt that runs every second. And when it triggers off an interrupt, then you only use CPU time when it has to update for that second.
One frame per second.
Precisely. Exactly. Yep. Right. Yep. So that's what I'm looking at.
Kind of like season one of Category 5.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But my point, we've got to start somewhere. And yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to rely on libraries to do this. I only want to use libraries where I have the source code. There's a display driver that Adafruit publishes. I don't know if you've heard of Adafruit. They're over there in New York.
Oh, of course.
Yes. Yeah. And so I bought lots of stuff from them. I bought a lot of Arduinos and kits and all kinds of stuff from them. So I don't mind using their open source libraries. And if their library works, then it's just a matter of compiling it right into my own application. It just becomes the same binary blob. That would be the ideal thing.
I remember, I think that they showed it on a video some years ago, but it was one of the first smartwatches that came around, and someone managed to put a virtualized environment on it, and they just to see what happened, they installed Windows 95 on it, and it ran remarkably fast.
On what resolution display?
Very small.
I bet it was. I mean, the start button would take up the entire screen.
Yeah, he managed to squeeze it down, but he only did it just to see what happened and if he could do it.
Nice.
Right. Nice.
The most useless implementation of putting stuff on things was, I saw it a couple of months ago, someone installed a modern I think it was Slackware, the latest Slackware on on a real 386 computer. It used 15 minutes to boot up to the terminal login.
Wow. Way back when Slackware and all was around, there was a very small Linux distribution that booted off a 3.5 inch floppy disk. The initials were DSL.
I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah, we've already spent
small Linux on the
show. What's that? We've said hell on the show so far. So now
I can say damn small Linux then. That's okay. Yeah. All right then.
DSL.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But that booted up fairly quickly. I mean, it was slow because the floppy disks were very slow.
Yeah.
It just took time to seek to tracks on the floppy. But hey, it worked. you couldn't do much with it, but if you desperately needed to, if you hosed up your hard drive and you needed to get to the hard drive, you'd fire up this DSL distro, mount the hard drive onto another mount point, do whatever surgery you needed to do, then you could just reboot the thing off the hard drive again and all would be well.
I used to think that it was named DSL because it was primarily used for DSL connections until I actually visited the homepage.
I remember using DSL for dial-up. I believe that was what we did.
You used damn small Linux for dial-up?
Yes, I think so, yeah. What would happen was that this was at my ex-father-in-law's place, and so what we did is we set up a PC that just booted off the floppy, and whenever anyone on the network needed to get on the internet, it would on demand set up the PPP connection by dialing up the internet service provider, setting up the PPP connection, getting its IP address, and then, yep, there we go. And we already know how to do NAT. So it just worked. They thought it was the most amazing thing in the whole wide world.
Yeah. A friend of mine, the same one who had a big red array that fell down, I introduced him to Linux. I sent him a CD of Caldera 1.2, and he was so he liked it so much that he managed to get his what 8.2, okay.
Yes,
he managed to install us manage to get the school authorization to install Slackware on one of the school systems that had an ISDN card. He had a lot of Googling whatever was around them in 2001 and 2. But he never managed to figure out how to configure a dial on demand. So he had both ISDN lines permanently connected as long as that system was running for almost 2 years. But the school admin was so impressed because suddenly they had a stable internet, even if the phone bill skyrocketed, he was still happy because the internet was stable.
Yeah.
The old Cisco router that they used was crap.
What kind of speed were you seeing out of the ISDN? I always wondered how fast your internet connection could be.
On a single line, I used to have that. A single line was 64K, and a dual ISDN was 128.
64K?
Yeah.
Wow. That's not much.
No, but 20 years ago on a dial-up connection, that is a whole lot.
I just always seem to equate ISDN with high-speed internet connections, but not so much. No. Not so much.
More
reliable
internet connections.
Yeah, that's what you needed.
To have high speeds.
Okay.
I gotta say hello to Bo, whose transitions make him look like Agent Smith.
Yeah.
See if I can find you.
Ah, yes. I just can't.
Hello.
Hello.
And I'll just let you guys know, if ever I mute your microphone, it's not that I'm telling you to shut up, it's that there's background noise. So if you ever see that I've muted you, it just means that there's background noise, somebody talking or something like that.
You mean like this?
Yeah. All that kind of stuff. Just before you take offense and think that I don't want to hear from you.
I don't take offense from me, don't worry.
I used to do my own thing because I use this to mute when I have to take off the headset.
Oh, yes, good idea.
That is quite
BP9.
Crazy. Yes, sir.
You had asked about if I'd heard of Adafruit.
Yes.
When you have a chance, go back and take a look at episode number 629. It came to mind when you asked about that. So
okay. 629. All right. Yeah. No problem. I'll do that.
We're just about out of time, guys.
Oh, my.
Already? Almost. So today, Jeff and myself are going to be socially distant at Studio E and get some things set up. Sasha's going to be there vicariously through a private Zoom meeting, and we're just going to be figuring out kind of how things are going to be set up, and
cool.
It's going to be pretty fun. So I'll be vlogging there for patrons and Kickstarter supporters, so you'll see that. Beyond that, it's just really getting things set up.
When you showed off a few pictures of the empty studio, I remember thinking, but by then it was too late to even mention it, that it would be nice to have a final shot of the three of you in that studio. But, all right, in the empty studio.
I'm sorry, I can't hear over all the noise at Bo's place.
Yeah. I'm not making any noise.
Yeah, you're
but not. I could be.
I think it's Rosemary.
Yeah.
I'm going to the door, Bobby. I chucked him in the other room.
Sorry, what was that, Solbu, about the studio?
Yeah, yesterday when you had a final tour and you, yes. You had up your few still shots. I remember thinking when I saw the still shots, but then it was even too late to mention it, that it would be nice to have a still shot of the three of you in the empty studio.
Of the what?
Of the empty studio for the final time.
A screenshot of the studio three of you.
Yeah. We're talking about Studio D?
Yeah.
It's probably too late now because you don't have access to it now.
I don't have keys to Studio D anymore.
Right. Right.
Handed those in this morning. Mm-hmm. But what I did do is I posted a vlog last night when I closed down, and I did a panoramic kind of show of what the studio looks like completely empty.
Yeah.
And so that was posted last night. And then I posted some pictures on our Discord as well for those who don't have access to the vlog. Yeah, but it's done. So now...
Yeah.
I don't have to be going to two different studios. I can just go to Studio E and get things set up. It's going to feel pretty good.
Except one last time. You got one last time to get your Ubiquity. That's all.
Yes. I just got to pull that off the roof this afternoon. Yeah. So, and then that's it.
Is it an antenna wire hanging down from the roof?
There's an Ethernet cable that's bolted to the siding, and I'm just going to leave that behind. I'll leave the Ethernet cable.
I think Bo said something that we missed. Go ahead, Bo.
Oh no, I'm not. I don't remember saying anything.
Oh, okay.
I was being emotionally distant.
Oh dear,
you're so bad.
Well, guys. I found a picture yesterday, the final story, that I posted on Facebook and reposted. Someone has put on a big gown with a 2 meter long wide in a circum around and an old fashioned kind of party gown. It is not possible to approach without falling over the entire thing. So,
That's one way to do social distancing.
Yeah, that's what came to my mind as well. So.
Well, gents, it's been nice seeing you all, and hope you have a wonderful afternoon. I will be checking in on the vlog this evening from Studio E, and so I look forward to that. And thank you again for all your support, everyone. And I will see you, if not before, I'll certainly see you during tomorrow's coffee break. So take care. Have a good afternoon, everyone.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Enjoyed it. See ya.
Bye.
See ya.